Well, welcome back to Connecting Faith. Thanks so much for joining us. Well, we've been talking to folks from Angel Tree Ministry, which is an organization that provides gifts for children who have parents who are in prison. And I was just wondering, what would it be like to talk to your children about the necessity of looking out for some children who may have lives very different from their own? So I invited Dr. Bill Meyer. As you know, he joins us every other Friday here on Connecting Faith, and we're going to chat a little bit about that. You know Dr. Bill Meyer from our morning show here on Faith Radio from 6 to 8 in the morning on Monday through Friday and also Saturdays at 11 a.m. Dr. Bill is a child and family psychologist. He has extensive training in parent and training and education, so that's going to help us out today. So Dr. Bill, we all want to raise children who care about other people, but it seems like sometimes that is a difficult thing to do, especially this time of year.
It is, because kids are focused on what they want for Christmas. My own kids are going through the Covet catalog right now as we speak. Dad, I want this. This would be great. And to get them to think outside of themselves, I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. One of the things we do in our family is we get the catalog from World Vision and Samaritan's Purse and these other organizations and help the kids say, hey, we could buy a chicken for this family in Africa. By showing them the pictures, by talking about the family situation, by giving them sort of some insight into what these children in other countries are experiencing, it helps. Same thing goes with Angel Tree, to help our kids understand what it might be like to have a mom or dad who is in prison. You know, when you're a young kid, that's a foreign concept and something that's really hard to grasp. And so I think for us as parents, not just with this particular situation, but with all of life, to help our kids develop a sense of empathy for other people's feelings, for their situations, is really key toward developing them into the sort of man or woman that God would want them to be.
Well, and it, like you said, it's any situation to convince a child that someone is in a different situation than they are, whether it's having a single parent or not having enough money to heat their home in the winter or to get food. I mean, it just seems like it's hard to get them to put themselves in someone else's spot. So when we're talking about things like gathering hats and mittens for charities during this holiday season or providing something, like you said, through World Vision, it seems like we have to work really hard to convince or to show children what it means to be empathetic. So what's some research on how we do that?
Well, I'll give you a few things that the researchers have found. One of them is to address your child's own needs first and teach them how to bounce back from distress. The studies have shown that kids are more likely to develop a sense of empathy for others when their own emotional needs are being met at home. When kids are securely attached to mom and dad, they're more likely to show sympathy to other people, and they're more likely to offer help to others in distress. If their own needs are not being met, if their cup is half full, then they're going to have a harder time showing care for others. Other research shows that kids are more likely to show empathic concern for others if they have parents who teach them how to cope with negative emotions in a problem-solving oriented way. So, I'm really frustrated right now. I'm really angry right now. Mom and dad help them to express those feelings and then solve the problem. Those kids are going to be more likely to learn how to care for others.
Oh, that's really interesting. I remember my child when he was in one of the lower grades in elementary school had a feelings workbook. And those are the kinds of things that we talked about is what makes you angry? When do you feel frustrated? When do you feel sad? And that and at the time I was doing that, I thought this is brilliant because it's really getting us to have a conversation, but it's also getting him to be aware of how he's feeling. So that would help someone then to maybe see sadness in someone else.
Exactly. And there are some primary emotions. You've probably seen those charts with the different faces, you know, the angry face, the happy face. Basically, if you break it down, you've got mad, sad, glad, and scared. And most emotions are going to fall into those broad categories. So to kind of help your child to identify, what are you feeling right now? Are you feeling scared? Are you feeling sad? And then to, you know, again, help them to really own that emotion, express that emotion in an appropriate way. You don't want to express anger by breaking something, but that's a good place to start. Another thing we know from research, Joe, is to find everyday opportunities, teachable moments, to model sympathetic feelings for other people. By modeling that in our daily life and the people we interact with and pointing out situations that really call for empathy, you can help to generate those sympathetic responses in your child. For example, let's say you are watching a TV show or you hear a news report about someone who is victimized in some way. You talk to your child about how that person must feel. So you're basically helping them to kind of get a cognitive map of what's going on with that other family, that other person, and then what might they be feeling? And when have you felt that way in your own life? That's a great place to go to help your kids to become more empathic.
How about, you were talking about Christmas gifts or displaying what it means to be generous or to be giving. How can parents help with that? Do we need to replicate that in our own lives so our kids can see that?
We do. And, you know, it's interesting you say that, Joe, because Lisa and I, my wife and I, were talking about this the other day. We give to our church. We give to a couple different charity organizations, but our kids don't see it because we write a check or we have an automatic debit or a credit card. And so our church did something last week. They have a winter campaign to basically look forward to the next year and some of the goals that we have at our church for growth and for serving the community. And it was one of those situations where we were sitting in the pew and our son, who's 13, happened to be with us that morning instead of being in youth group. And so I said to her, you know, we could just, you know, go online and make this contribution. And I said, maybe he needs to see me go up and put the check in the little, because they had special boxes up at the front of the church. And so it wasn't to do a show or make mom and dad look good. It was more so he could see, you know, we're actually doing something concrete. Because if we had just made that online contribution, he would have never seen it. He would have never related to it. So that's just, you know, one little thing. But on a daily basis, find ways. Here's a great one. Homeless people. I know from the research, you don't want to give money to a homeless person for the most part, because chances are it's going to go to drugs or alcohol in many situations. But carry around a packet of gift certificates to McDonald's or Subway sandwiches. And when you see a homeless person, you know, give them that, maybe give them a little bag of toiletries or some granola bars, or, you know, we've talked about coats and mittens, hats, things like that. Something practical that can help them. When they see mom and dad doing that, that starts to, oh, you know, that's what giving really means. And mom and dad didn't need to do that. And then you talk about it afterwards, why you made that decision, especially if it was sacrificial, something that you did, why you chose to do that instead of going to Caribou.
Well, and it does seem like that would help kids to understand that maybe someone in their peer group, or at least in their classroom, or at least in their school, they could think, well, we're going to collect mittens, or we're going to collect hats, or we're going to, you know, do these gift bags for people who don't have homes somewhere else, but they don't know how close that person might actually be to them. And what we've been talking about this whole hour with Angel Tree is that 1 in 28 kids has a parent who is in prison. And so to bring it back home, what would be a good suggestion on how to get our kids to start thinking a little bit more locally, really, with the fact that there might be a kid right down the row from them who is struggling with not having enough food to eat or has a parent who's in prison?
Well, one of the things is you want to help your child find the similarities they have with that individual. So maybe, you know, they're 8 years old and they're an 8-year-old boy, and there's an 8-year-old boy that they know of or in their class who has this particular situation. So right away, okay, I can relate. They're in second grade. They're 8 years old. They've got blonde hair, whatever it is. But then here's the ways that they're different. They live with a single parent. They live in a trailer park. They live in a situation where they don't necessarily have all the nice toys and the things, electronics and things that you have. So you find a way for them to identify on some level, but then explore those differences. Here's something really interesting, Joe. A couple of years ago, some researchers did a role play where they asked young, healthy medical students to simulate the difficulties of old age. For example, the students wore goggles covered with transparent tape to simulate the effects of cataracts. They wore heavy rubber gloves to experience poor motor control. After this experiment, these medical students showed much greater empathy toward elderly people, mm-hmm. because now they'd experienced some of these things for themselves and they realized how difficult it was. So to find opportunities for your children to maybe experience in a gentle sort of a way some of these areas of deprivation or even role play so they understand what these kids are going through.
Mm. Some great suggestions from Dr. Bill Meyer. You can catch Dr. Bill every morning here on Faith Radio from 6 to 8 in the morning or Saturdays at 11. We thank you for your super helpful tips and great information today, Dr. Bill.
You bet.